Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be consoled, since they were no more. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
Today again, as we had just the day before yesterday on the Feast of St. Stephen, we have the shedding of blood right in the midst of the octave of Christmas to remind us that the light came into the world, but some preferred darkness rather than light. Those to whom Stephen was preaching and even accusing of infidelity to God did not want to hear what he said, opposed him rather than let his word convert them. And so when Herod, here he is a king, hears of the birth of Jesus, he becomes afraid. In fact, the Gospels tell us he became afraid, and with him all Jerusalem. Think of the craziness of that for a moment. A king afraid of a baby? God became a baby precisely so that we would feel unafraid to approach him. And here we have a king afraid of a baby. His conscience was speaking to him. Something told him the light has come into the world, but he still preferred the darkness. He preferred his power rather than embracing righteousness. He preferred to be the one in charge rather than to acknowledge the kingship of God who had just come in the flesh. And as raw power operates, he decided to just push out of the way any possible threat to that power. Kill all of these children, 2 years and younger, in Bethlehem and its environs. Now, the people, the 12 tribes of Israel, descended, of course, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Three generations, Abraham, Isaac, his son, and then Jacob, his son. And Jacob had his name changed to Israel. And Jacob, one of Jacob's wives was Rachel. And there, one of their sons was Benjamin. And that was, and you know, each of these descendants, these 12 descendants of Israel, were apportioned a different part of the Holy Land. And so the environs of Bethlehem, where this slaughter took place, was the area of Benjamin, Rachel's son. So if all the infants in Bethlehem and the surrounding area were being slain by Herod, these were Rachel's children. And the haunting imagery that's given here is that Rachel, who was buried in Ramah centuries before, is stirred even from her grave at the slaughter of these children and is weeping for them. The word Rama here, in fact, some translators say that it means not so much the specific location, but it means from a mountaintop. So it is like Rachel, this matriarch, seeing from beyond the grave to this slaughter, is weeping over all the land for her children, refusing to be consoled, for they are no more. If you read the Gospel of Life, the marvelous encyclical by St. John Paul II, and I urge you to read it, brothers and sisters, go to gospeloflife.org, you will see the Holy Father apply this to today, because the power of the strong against the weak, the power of those who want to rely just on raw power to remove any threat from them, the power that resorts to violence when it is infected with fear, continues in our day with abortion. There's the violence against the children themselves, the core violence of abortion itself. And then there's the violence that takes place when those in power want it to continue. It's interesting that Roe versus Wade, which was the Supreme Court that legalized abortion, was characterized by one of its dissenters on the Supreme Court as an exercise of raw judicial power. That's all it was. It's devoid of conscience, devoid of morality, devoid of compassion, devoid of any constitutional arguments, as even those who support legal abortion but are legal experts will say about Roe v. Wade. It's devoid of constitutional reasoning. It's just raw power. What reasoning did Herod the king have to be afraid of a baby? No reason. Raw power. And the fear that power was being threatened. Abortion does no good for anybody. Not for the baby, but also not for the mother, for the father, for anyone who's trying to hold on to some kind of power or control. These phrases, my rights, my body, my choice, my life, my freedom, they're just slogans. They don't represent the reality of what happens when someone has an abortion. It's exactly the opposite of freedom. They don't do it because of that. These are the slogans of those in power who want to continue this exercise of raw judicial power. Just their slogans. It's not the heart of those who are actually tempted to have an abortion. They're not tempted by freedom. They're tempted by despair. A voice is heard in Rama, sobbing in loud lamentation. These children were martyrs. And it raises an interesting question. They did not yet know how to believe in Christ or profess Him or offer their lives for Him. How is it that they are martyrs? Because of the reason they were killed. Not because of what they themselves were thinking or choosing or doing, but because of the reason that they were killed. Hatred of Christ. And when in many ways we see at the core of the abortion industry, not in the heart of those that are actually getting abortions, but at the core of the abortion industry and at the core of the political forces that promote it, we do see hatred of Christ. And that is why some in the church have seriously proposed and thought through the possibility of someday declaring the unborn children who have been slaughtered by abortion to be modern-day holy innocents. Certainly we can say that hatred of Christ has inspired, again, not the hearts of the moms who are in despair and getting abortions, but certainly the powerful forces behind groups like Planned Parenthood and other abortion groups and the Democrat leaders that are so pro-abortion. There's a real hatred of Christ there. And this loud lamentation echoes therefore down through the centuries. Part of my work, as many of you know, is to be pastoral director of Rachel's Vineyard. This, as a ministry of Priests for Life, is the largest ministry in the world for healing those that have had abortions, healing the moms, the dads, the grandparents, the entire family. We also minister to ex-abortionists. And this is why this ministry takes the name of Rachel from this passage here. Rachel weeping for her children. So many moms are weeping for their children today. They have had abortions. And that pain, that loss, does not go away. We minister to them to help them to encounter their children in Christ, to help them to encounter the Christ who forgives them, to help them, in the words of John Paul II, to entrust their child to the Father of Mercies. But that lamentation continues throughout their lives. Let us run to them with the consolation of Christ. Let's be there for them. Learn more about Rachel's Vineyard. Rachelsvineyard.org is the main website. Because this very passage is being fulfilled again and again each day. We've got to bring an end to this slaughter of the innocents. And it starts with our own conversion. It starts with pushing out fear from the hearts of those who might resort to this violence. It starts by replacing their despair with hope and being there as a sign of the Christ who comes at Christmas to give us the strength to do what is right. We heard it in the Midnight Mass, that passage from the letter of Paul to Titus, that this grace of God has appeared and he prepares for himself a people eager to do what is right. We are eager to do what is right, and Christmas gives us not only a deeper understanding of what that is, Christmas gives us the power to do what is right, and therefore the power to end abortion and to end all other forms of oppression and violence. As O Holy Night sings, in his name all oppression shall cease. The oppression of these children, the oppression of the unborn, all oppression shall cease. Christ comes to break the power of evil. Let us rejoice in him. And once again, let us come and adore him. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.